Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
In the Bible, as you're looking at it, kind of the right half, you'll look and you'll find the book of Romans. And I'd like you to turn to the book of Romans. Chapter 6. I tell you what page it's on, but my Bible is, you know, different than yours. And if you're in round Matthew and Mark, you need to keep going right. All right? If you're over there in Galatians or Revelation, you got to go left. All right? And I want you to be able to kind of follow along if that's right. Romans chapter 6 and verse 15. We're going to read a segment of the scripture here, but we're also going to, and I wanted to read this because I want us to then just be mindful of another book in the Bible that I'm just going to talk about, but I may not have you turn there. And the other book is just one chapter long. And so that one's a little more difficult to find because it doesn't take up several pages. But Romans chapter 6. Verse 15, it says, and this is the Apostle Paul writing, okay? He's writing a letter, and he's writing this letter under the inspiration of God's leading and Spirit, and he writes to the believers who are there in Rome, and the really cool thing is that we get to read it now and apply it to our life. And so he starts out with a question. He says, what then? Question. Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? He says, by no means. In other words, when we come to faith in God, we're under grace, which means we have his favor. We confess sin. We get forgiveness. Does that mean we can turn around and just go and sin some more and do what we want and then come back to God and say, oh, hey, listen, I'm really sorry and forgive me. And God says, okay, I'll show you grace and favor. You don't deserve it, but I'm going to do this. And then we turn our back on God and we go do our own thing our own way and not according to his word and his leading. And then we come back and say, oh, God, forgive me. And, you know, he's saying that we shouldn't keep doing that. He knows, Paul knows, because he's a man, he knows that we're going to continue to sin after our faith in Christ, but it should not be this willful action of trying to take advantage in the sense of God will forgive me so I can do what I want, then God will forgive me, I can go do what I want. Paul's saying it shouldn't be like that. That's not correct faith. That's not what God's grace is for. Certainly we go and get forgiveness and then we turn around and we try to walk with Christ and do things his way and, you know, we get an attitude or we say something, we do something, we satisfy some kind of carnal pleasure that's inappropriate, you know, and we struggle and we wrestle with things like that. Then coming back to God with the sincere faith saying, listen, I'm trying, but I really need your help. I blew it. I messed up. I need your grace. He's saying, you know, that's okay. You can come to God. When we sin, we're supposed to keep going back to God. And sometimes if it's something we struggle with, I don't want you to lose faith this morning. I don't want you to lose hope. I want you to know there are things that we genuinely wrestle with. I want to tell you, keep fighting the good fight of faith. Don't throw in the towel. Don't walk under condemnation. Don't walk under this, I'm no good. I might as well just forget it. You know, no, you keep coming to the Lord. Keep coming back to him. Keep coming to him. Listen, he'll lead you. He knows how to untangle things that we've entangled ourselves in. And the longer we've been in something, it's like more has wrapped itself around us and holds us. And you know what? The deeper you get into the blackberry patch, the more vines and thorns are tangled around you. He knows how to get us out. He knows how to get us free. But you got to stay close to him. And so that's just a little side note this morning of what Paul's talking about when he says, should we continue in sin? He says, no. Should we take advantage of God's grace? Well, not in the selfish sense, but yeah, I want to take advantage. It's afforded to us. I want it to impact, and it's supposed to change my life. And so that's the kind of grace he's talking about. And he says, don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, say that with me, slave to sin, leads to death. I want you to remember that. Then he says, to obedience, which leads to righteousness. In other words, if we obey God, it leads to right living. Listen, do you remember moments where you had a pretty clear conscience? Do you remember windows of time? You know, because I don't know that we always live in this, I got a clear conscience, you know, but the moments where we live in a clear conscience, can you remember just for a moment, can you remember a time where you go, oh, that was so nice. It was so peaceful, you know, didn't feel guilt, didn't feel infringed upon. I didn't have these feelings of hate or vengeance or disgust or frustration. It was just like, this is so good. Well, when God forgives us of sin and he helps us to live unto him and live right, I'm telling you that you can sleep good. You can sleep good. Well, unless you're at certain ages, then your sleep's disrupted, but it's not because of guilt. And I just want you to know that if when we honor him and live according to him, there's a peace that comes. And I'll tell you what, you can't buy that anywhere. There's no prescription for that. There's no medication for that. It's a soulish thing. We know inside. And so he's saying, hey, if you continue in sin as a slave to it, it's your master, and it will lead to death. But if you are a slave unto righteousness, then it leads to life and peace, etc. So, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Say this, slaves to righteousness. Okay, that was 85% of you. Everybody, slaves to righteousness. Excellent. And Paul says, I put this in human terms and so that we can understand it. And he goes on a little further and it says, if we offer ourselves or our body as slaves to impurity, to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them instead in slavery to righteousness, which is leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. Oh, that's not good. What benefit did you reap at the time from the things you are now ashamed of? Oh, listen, could you be honest with me this morning? Don't confess and tell us what it is all at once. But do you remember a time when it's like you so badly wanted to do something or experience something or you fell to some kind of temptation or peer pressure, whatever it was in your life, and you went and did it, and then time has gone by, and now you've come into faith into Christ, and you look back at some of the things you did, and you go, I wish I would have never. I am ashamed. If people knew, oh my, they wouldn't like me. Or they would think this of me, which is questionable. And yet at one time we so badly wanted to do that. And now in Christ we look back and we go, boy, I wish I would have never. Boy, I'm ashamed of that. At the time, boy, I wanted to, or it would seem like the thing to do, or, you know, whatever it was. But on this side of the act, the post game, you look back and go, oh boy, I wish I wouldn't have. And so he writes about that. Now, by the way, there's a grace and a mercy in Christ for that. It can all be washed away. Everybody said hallelujah. Yeah, there's hope for us. Turn to the person next to you and say, there's hope for you. If you don't know them well, you can say it this way. I don't know you well, but there's hope for you. If it's your spouse, say, I know you really well. There's still hope for you. Yeah. Yeah, there's still hope for you. So, Paul writes these things in hope. And now, I want to share with you, when it talks about this concept of slaves to sin and slaves to righteousness, there is a book in the New Testament that's further to the right, and it's one chapter. It's called the Book of Philemon. Okay, and it's right before Hebrews. If you want to turn there, you can. I'm not going to read anything, but I want to tell you the story of what is happening, okay? And it's kind of a triangle. It's kind of between three people that this story of Philemon is happening. Now, Philemon is, he's a slave owner. And so I want you to know, in that time in history and culture, there were all kinds of legitimate and lawful ways for you to have a slave, okay? And it was acceptable and lawful. Now, we on this side of the cross, we understand that, hey, that is just not cool. But I just want you to know, in the culture and in that time, and how people became slaves and how people bought slaves or received slaves, whether it was from battle and war and other people groups, or you were born to slave parents, etc. There's all kinds of ways. And so I just want you to know, in the context of this, Philemon is a slave owner. Now, Philemon has become a believer. In fact, if you look into his history, you would find out that he's kind of a leader in a local church, okay, in Colossae, or where we find the book of Colossians, where Paul wrote from, or he wrote to. And so he is the slave owner. He's a Christian man. Well, he had kind of a both right now, because his slave's name was Onesimus. And Onesimus did something. He did a big no-no, okay? He was a slave, and his master was Philemon, and Onesimus stole from his master. Everybody go, ooh. And there was a law that if a slave stole from his master, it was actually punishable by death. Onesimus steals and runs away. Makes sense, right? If that's how you're thinking. I'm a slave. I stole. I'm running away because I do not want to die. And so Onesimus runs to, most likely, he ran to Rome. If you look in the history, once again, hi, Cynthia. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Nice to meet you here. Okay. Ran to Rome. Most likely, can't prove that, but most likely ran to Rome. And there's a reason that we can pull those pieces together is, a lot of slaves ran to Rome when they tried to run away from their master. And Paul was in Rome at the time. And somehow Onesimus, who is not a believer, Philemon is the owner, master. The slave Onesimus is not. And Onesimus comes into contact with Paul's ministry, and obviously at some point, if you know and you were to read the book, that Onesimus comes in contact with Paul himself. And what happens is Onesimus becomes a Christian. Now, he was an unbelieving, when I say unbelieving, he doesn't believe in Christ. He doesn't believe in Jesus as Savior. He was unbelieving, was a slave, stole from his master and ran away and come into contact with the apostle and his ministry. And Onesimus comes to faith in Christ. So now you've got this former slave on the run who's now a Christian. And you've got a master who's a Christian. And you've got Paul in the equation. And the interesting thing is that Paul and Philemon are friends. So you got this triangle going on. But there's been a law that's broke. I mean, he stole. I mean, we're all in this room and say, hey, come on, give the guy a break. You know, he didn't know Jesus. And Paul writes back, and when he writes back, time has gone by. And I want you to know that Onesimus became a personal attendant to Paul while he was in chains, in prison. Onesimus was saved by his faith in Christ, saved from his sins. So he's saved, he's a Christian, and now he starts taking care of Paul. He's tending to his needs. You know, he's contained by the Roman government. And so all of this is going on, and Paul says, listen, you guys got to make this right. Onesimus is scared to go back because he knows that though he's a Christian, he could die for his sin. And I want you to think back to Romans chapter 6. A slave to sin leads to death. This is Onesimus' life. His sin has led him to death in the natural. We know in Romans chapter 6 that Paul is talking about the eternal consequence of living our life as a slave to sin, okay? And it leads to death or separation from God for all eternity. So Paul says, listen, be a slave unto righteousness. Build relationship with God. Let him be your master. Because people who are slaves to sin, most of the time, do not know that we were slaves. We thought we were calling our own shots. Right? Right? That's the deception of darkness, so to speak. We think we're living our own life, and I'll call my own shots, and I'm my own person, and I'm blah, 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 and we do what we want, when we want, where we want, with who we want, or by ourselves. We don't know. We don't understand that if we're just doing our own thing, we're actually a slave. We think we're the master. We think there's this role reversal, and the reality is we're a slave. If we are left to ourselves, you know, we will do things wrong. Gene and Carol, welcome back. Have a good time out west? Good. Hey, Zach, give me five. Atta boy. Hi, Andy. We said happy birthday to you when you were recently. You weren't here, but happy birthday, buddy. And so we think we're our own person, and actually, we're a slave to doing our own thing, which is usually sin and corrupt. Now, some more severe than others. Listen, I am not passing judgment on you. I'm including myself. I know us. Right? I know us. We may do some good things, but don't fall under the concept that if I do more good than bad, I'm okay. That's not how things are measured. Once we break a law, we're guilty, period. Doesn't matter how many good things we do afterwards. We cannot pay for that sin. That's why Jesus hung on this. Well, not this one, but you know. Okay? Hung on this. As a criminal, though he was innocent, he died in our place for all humanity. That's the kindness of God. And so, his grace and mercy is extended to us. And we can ask forgiveness and he can grant it. He will, if we're honest with him. The Bible says it. He's faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins if we confess unto him. That's what it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. So here's the story of Philemon and Onesimus, the slave. And Paul writes to Philemon and says, listen, I'm sending him back to you. I would rather keep him here, because he has taken care of me and he has empowered me to be able to continue the ministry though I am in chains, though I am under arrest. The gospel still spreads because he has helped me. Now I want you to think about this for a moment. Here's a little side note. How many of you have felt oppressed at times? Maybe you weren't a slave, but you were oppressed by a boss or your situations or circumstances. You didn't feel like being faithful. You didn't like getting up and going to work. You didn't like going to school or showing up for that class because not just was the class useless, it was that teacher. You know, somewhere you just felt oppressed, and maybe it's at home and your parents and from your perspective. He just felt oppressed. Onesimus obviously felt oppressed as a slave under his master, right? Right? Yeah. I mean, that doesn't take a whole lot of deduction. You can figure that out. Here's the beauty. Watch this now. When he was living as a slave, though he did something wrong and ran away, he knew the life of being a slave. He knew what it was to carry out duties whether he felt like it or not. Now watch when faith comes into his life, what happens? He puts his faith in Christ, and now who is he serving? We know the Lord, but who is he serving? Paul. He has taken care of Paul. He is with Paul. He is waiting on Paul. Do you think he wants to do all these tasks? I mean, is it fun? Hey, caretakers in this room, you've had to care for somebody and a lot of their needs because they can't do it themselves. You know what I'm talking about? Mothers, you have children. Caretaker, I love you. I'm so sick of cleaning up vomit. You know, where is your father? You know. Yeah, got to work overtime, honey. Can't be home. Yeah, right. Caretaker wears you out. It's not something you feel like doing, but you give yourself to it willingly. Look what Onesimus did. He knew how to serve when he didn't want to serve. And now he doesn't have to serve, but Christ came into his life, and he is now serving Paul as if he is willing to be Paul's slave. And Paul never asked him to be a slave. So I want you to know this. When you feel oppressed in life and frustrated or trapped and called to do things that you don't feel like doing, I want you to know that even if you are a believer or not a believer in Christ, I want you to know that God is doing a work in forging you in character. He's forging you in character so that when you are free, when the day comes, you are free, you will serve willingly because you learned how to serve when you were oppressed. You want to see a benefit of slavery? There's a gift coming in the back door. From the front door, slavery looks evil and it's bad. And I don't agree with it, and I don't any of those things. Not at all. But I'll tell you, God can take that which is ugly and oppressive and turn it into something good. And I'll tell you what, all of us have our share and experiences of being oppressed. And I'll tell you what, God in that moment, when we're frustrated and screaming out, and can't you hear us, and I'm sick of this, you go ahead and be a crabby slave. You might stay there longer till you learn it and surrender. And when God brings you out, you've learned a way of life, and now it's redeemed, and you're doing it willingly, serving, honoring God, doing something beautiful. Listen, I'm telling you, that is what being a childhood is, learning to live under the authority and doing things when you don't feel like doing, because your time will come, not just to be a parent, but live out from underneath that. And how will you live? Because you call yourself free. Will you be a slave to sin or a slave to what's right? So here's Onesimus. And Paul says, I'd rather keep him because he's been such a benefit to me, but I am sending him back to you. Now, Philemon, listen to me. I'm paraphrasing, but this is what he's writing. Paul's writing says, Philemon, listen to me. I know this guy stole from you. And I know that by law, you can have him put to death. But listen, he is your brother. He is your brother in Christ. I want you to know all the social arrangements that we have in our culture or any culture all become secondary when someone is your brother or sister in Christ. Paul says, lawfully, I know that you can have him put to death. Listen, he is your brother in Christ now. It changes the whole game. And what Paul was trying to tell to Philemon is this. This is supposed to be something that they referred to in the Old Testament. It was actually in the book of Deuteronomy. And I know I'm jumping around here, but piece this together with me. In the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, in other words, if you're in Romans, it's way to the left. Okay? It was after a slave has served you for 6 years and going into his seventh year, okay, you have a manumission, is what it's called in our language, a manumission, which means that you as the master can turn your slave free. Because the work that you have gotten from them in their 6 to up to 7 years is more than what you would have gotten for a hired hand in 12. Okay? And so, it's this, Paul is saying, hey, you know that manumission? Well, this is your brother in Christ. I'm kind of suggesting that, you know, I return him to you, and you set him free. Set him free. Law says kill him. He deserves it. Paul says he's your brother. It was a former life. He's repented. He has served willfully, not under obligation. I'm returning him to you because that's what's right, and you two need to work this out. And I suggest to you, Philemon, that you follow the law. And you turn him free. Free. Think about this. You're the slave. You stole. You ran away. And now you got to go back. you got to go back. And your master awaits you. And he says, I'm going to set you free. You were a slave to sin, but I can see now how you've lived under Paul and how you have served, that you are a slave to righteousness. And you are forgiven. You are forgiven. You don't have to do anything. Don't have to do anything. You're forgiven. You're set free. You see, this is what Paul is writing about in Romans, that you and I can be forgiven when we were slaves to sin, and now we're a slave unto righteousness. Here's the really cool thing. Back in Deuteronomy, when this was law was put into place about masters setting your servants, your slaves free, a slave had an option. Get this. A slave had an option to say, thank you for setting me free, but I want you to know I love you as my master, I love your family, and I want to stay. You want to stay. And so what they would do is they would take this servant, who this slave said, I want to stay, I love my life here, and I like you as a master. They would take and back him up to a door, stretch out his ear, and take an awl. Do you know what an awl is? It's kind of like a really sharp nail, like with a wooden handle on the end. It's called an awl. Awl. Kind of like all of you, but awl. Awl. Practice skate. Awl. 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 A little more awl, like you're from the South. Awl. An awl. They would take this awl and put it up to his ear. And this was the sign that he was a slave set free and he chose to stay. And they would take the awl and they would push it through his ear into the door. Now, they would take it out. He wouldn't stay there. Some of you are starting to look horrified, like, oh, did they bring him food? They pull it out. And this was the sign. This was the sign that I love my master. I am content. I am happy being a slave to my master. So let me ask you this. What sign do you wear? What sign do you wear that says, I love my master? That speaks to the culture, the world, the sign that says, I love my master. I love being a slave to the right one, the righteous one, righteousness. I don't want him to set me free. I want to stay. Jesus never makes you stay. He doesn't make you stay. He doesn't make you stay. He doesn't dig his claws into you. He just says, follow me. You'd have a choice. Would you rather be a slave to sin? You think you're the master, but don't be deceived. You and I are not the master. We call our own shots. We're not the master. We saw it. We're slaves. And sin will lead to death. But when we put our faith in Christ, have a real relationship with this master, I want you to know, I don't know what you think of God or how, what filter you look through in life to look at God. Maybe you had a mean daddy and you just think God is mean. Maybe you've never had a father in your life and you're not sure about this God thing and walking under his authority and his leading. And I don't know, I've been living my own life. I'm my own man, my own woman. I don't know what filter you look through, or my dad hurt me, my dad disappointed me, or some teacher, or some pastor, or some boss, or teacher, whoever. And so you kind of say, you know, I don't go for that. I'm going to protect me and keep what's mine and do my way. I want you to know, remove those filters, and you give God a fair shake, and you look at him for who he is. Because when it refers to us as being slaves under righteousness, Listen, Jesus isn't keeping us and forcing us. It's us going to the door saying, you died for me, you love me, you've given me grace, you've disciplined me, but, you know, I've needed it. So that brings me unto life and wisdom, empowers me, lets me walk with joy. I know my past, and I can still go to bed with a clean conscience because of his grace, his forgiveness. Okay? I say, back me up to a door and drive your all through it. But do it quick. Could you do it so it doesn't hurt? Could you do one of those miracles? Listen, what sign do you wear? Because I'll tell you, if you're a slave to sin, you're wearing signs all over you. And listen, it's not just physical signs and, you know, how you just adorn yourself. It's about what comes out of your mouth, how you treat people, and how you conduct your life and the things you involve yourself in and the things you don't involve yourself in. Those are all signs. It's the fruit. You're not going to get fruit, good fruit, from a bad tree. And from a good tree, you're not going to get bad fruit. So what sign do you wear that says, I'm a slave unto righteousness, willingly? God didn't make me, I chose. He drew me, he was kind to me. I'm going to put faith in him. And you know what? This culture and this world can know. They can look and see that all has been driven through my ear. Or are you letting the all be driven through your ear because you're willing to stay away from God and in your own thing, in your own sin? Listen, we're all guilty in this place. But there's hope. Hope that life can change. And it's not just about forgiveness in our past. It's about how we live from this point. Don't think for one moment that Onesimus wasn't transformed. Imagine the returning to your master and being told you're free. When you know you're guilty and you deserve not just punishment, but death punishment. And he says you're free. I turn you free. Do you understand that's what Jesus does? We've sinned against him, and against him only have we sinned. And if we return to him and ask forgiveness, he'll set you free. It's his promise. You're free. You're free. Do you know what free is? Free is not just doing things your own way. Free is being free, not having the hang-ups and the barriers. It's the freedom from those things to become the person you are called to be. The person you dream of being. The person that God desires you to be. You're free to become that. No more hang-ups. No more barriers. No more I'm no good. No more I did this, so I can't. Or this is where I was raised, so therefore I never will. Listen, we're all in slavery. This is not about race. This is not about race. This is not about color of skin. Listen, do you know that you could actually like be from Tolma and be forgiven?
Praise the Lord.
You know, it doesn't matter. Where are you from? You know? This isn't about prejudice and bias and, oh, you live over there. Or you're from there. This isn't about that. Listen, remove all those concepts. God's word says he will pour out his spirit on all people. In the end, in eternity, who will be there? Somebody from every tribe, every language, every tongue, you know? Sweet. Because here's the reality. You didn't get to choose what nationality you would be born or to who you'd be born with. You can't choose family other than a spouse. We ain't going there. Listen, it's not about where you're from. We all are born slaves to sin our way. I got good news. You can go free. Here's the challenging news. Those who are in your debt, you need to turn them free. As you have been forgiven, forgive. That's the challenge part. How dare we think we can drink of the grace and the mercy of God and then turn around and carry out our own vengeance? Doesn't fit. What's the outward sign that you wear, that you choose to be a follower of Christ? Did you line up and wait your turn? Say, Jesus, it's my turn. I'm standing at the door. I want to bear the signs that I am your servant. I am your slave. I want grace and mercy to flow from my life. I want wisdom to flow from my life. I want strength that is beyond myself to flow from my life. All representing that you are my resource, you are my master, and I am here doing your call, your purpose. And you know what? I am so glad. I am so glad that I don't have to be ensnared in my own plan and the patterns of this world where I live. That there's forgiveness for me. And not just forgiveness, there's new hope and purpose for my life. That you can heal me.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.